Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Definitely. Hey guys, I'm Rico de la Cruz. I'm based in Manila, Philippines. I currently run a design studio specifically focused on cryptocurrencies. So we work with a ton of NFT projects, DeFi projects, working on UI UX, as well as web design. So I have a couple of people on my team who are analysts as well from various different investment firms. So we do help with fundraising activities for these projects, whether it's about storytelling for the pitch deck, being able to support them in the fundraising process and all those stuff. But mainly, we run a crypto native design studio. Yeah.
Awesome. So are most of the projects that you work with, are they in the Philippines or do you work with people all over the world?
We work with people all over the world. So the talent-wise, internally, we're all based in the Philippines, but we work with international clients. So some people would be in Canada or in US, right? So, yeah.
So where are most of your clients? Are they in the US?
That's right. Mostly in the US and Canada, yeah.
So how did you get the idea to start this company?
Definitely. So I used to be a product manager for a fintech arm of a bank in the Philippines. So I handled crypto products. So I'm a crypto product manager. So we used to build an NFT fine arts marketplace where we would tokenize real artworks and turn it into an NFT, right? So essentially the model was to create various startups with various ideas. So that's where I learned to, jump out into crypto and build my own thing. So right now I'm starting with design as a service, but essentially we're moving into a venture model wherein we would take various services and offer it to startups. So it could be ranging from design, development, HR, what have you, right? So essentially helping people with an idea and creating their startup from scratch.
So what makes you better than your competition?
Definitely. A lot of people would tend to say, we're the best company, but I wouldn't make that claim, right? Because it's much easier for you to be much more honest with people. I would rather say we're in the top 10, top 20 company serving underdog startups, right? So that's where we're leaning towards too. Not a lot of these projects have the budget to pay for the top agency. So that's where we come in. We're trying to reach a very niche market, the underdog startups, and really work with them from the very start, right? So there's this idea from South Commons Park wherein they work with negative 1 to 0, meaning even if you don't have an idea, we'll start working with you as long as we get to know you as a person. So it's really about being able to be engaged with these projects early on. So some friends within the industry who wanted to put up a startup, you make partners with them, you form this partnership with them. So it's really about being very particular with the stage of the projects you're working with. At the same time, the talents we have in our firm usually work with banks in the Philippines. So we're very familiar with all the UI UX of a Web2 native platform. So that's what we bring into the expertise when it comes to serving clients. Yeah.
That makes sense. So do you think also that some of the value that you provide is based on a cost because you are in the Philippines?
That's one way to look at it. I've heard one feedback from a client from Canada. They were vouching for us, and he told the other client he was referring us to, they're the best value for money. So you could think of it that way. We're in a developing country trying to work with very talented individuals, connecting them with also talented founders within the global space. So you could also think of it that way. Yeah.
So how do you go about, doing client acquisition? Like, how have you been able to grow this business? Is it mostly through Twitter, or what channels have you used?
Definitely. At the moment, it's mostly Twitter. I mentioned earlier, I'm friends with a lot of analysts within investment firms. So a lot of those would come from network and word of mouth, right? So my analyst friends who work in investment firms invest in these startups, and they usually are referred to us in our design firm. At the same time, we are also exploring with paid ads on Google, but it hasn't taken off yet, right? So we're mostly focusing on organic and word of mouth, yeah, on Twitter.
So as of right now, what is your average monthly revenue?
Definitely. At the moment, we're doing about 15K a month, yeah, ranging about 2 to 3 projects on a monthly basis.
So are these projects mostly, so you mentioned some Web 2, but is it mostly Web 3 blockchain projects? Like, what is the scope of most of your work?
Definitely. So recently, we've worked with UI UX design. So it's really about creating all the flows from start to finish when it comes to designing an app. So we recently worked with a decentralized exchange wherein you can swap one crypto to another. So we did their UI UX app design, web design, as well as branding. So it touches a lot of things a startup would usually need. Yeah.
And so what are the daily challenges you face in your daily current business?
I would say definitely it's about growth, you know, internally when it comes to hiring talented individuals. At the same time, externally, you know, it's about acquiring customers as well, because you want to be able to have like a sustainable revenue, not just one-off projects, right? Because I feel like that's one of the challenges when it comes to agencies. You come off with, you're working with projects and it tends to be one-off. Whereas if you could retain the clients, work with them consistently, that way, you know, you're able to grow your business in a very sustainable way, right? So we're also exploring with pricing models at the moment, because some agencies would choose to do a fixed fee. Some agencies would explore subscription-based pricing, wherein you pay a fixed fee, then you could do unlimited work, design work with unlimited revision. So we're kind of in that place at the moment. We're exploring various pricing models internally. We're also balancing how we grow as a business, right? You know, hiring teams and acquiring customers.
So what does your typical day look like?
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, you know, it's really about growing the business. So internally, you know, being able to sell your idea to potential talent. And as mentioned earlier, I've worked with people from banking, the fintech space. All of these are designers. So you want to be able to onboard them into this idea of crypto, right? So it's about selling your idea to this talent internally. And externally, again, it's about being able to experiment with various growth levers. It could be referrals, by referrals, cold calling. It could be about, you know, word of mouth. You know, really try to experiment with various of things. That has been my day-to-day for the past few months, actually.
And that's great. So you mentioned you work with Americans and Canadian clients. So how do you accommodate the timings? And that's pretty late for your timing.
Definitely. We usually do a sync call. So in some cases, we work on Slack or Telegram. So we send them timeline. We update asynchronously. In some cases, if they have a question, I'm usually on call. So later this evening, if there's like a call at 3 a.m., I would usually pick those up. But at the same time, it's really about setting boundaries. I tend to adjust my time based on my client's time zone. So we mostly work with on the Pacific time zone. So my sleep has been, you know, has been changing depending on the clients we work with. So it has to be flexible, yeah.
So what are your top priorities for the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, as mentioned, we're looking into this venture studio model. So at the moment, we're starting with design, but we're also very much forward looking to getting development into our services as well, right? So that's been like being able to grow internally for services. At the same time, as mentioned earlier, we do like 2 to 3 projects on a monthly basis. We need to be able to take that up a notch, especially it's in the mayor market. So it's much you know, better for us to be noisy out there, where we're in a lot of agencies has closed shop. You know, it's time for us to be proactive and active in the space, right? So ideally, it's about getting more clients as we go on this bear market, yeah.
Software industry, people usually start with the services and go on to the product. That's a streamlined thing for the software industries. How do you think if you have one in solution that could you invest and that could streamline your business, what would that be?
I think even without thinking about software development, like what we do at our design firm, we utilize a bunch of AI tools, right? So when it comes to design to code, turning our design from Figma to useful codes that are production ready. So that's one way we could go about it. So when we work with developers, they're usually surprised that we're able to turn designs instantly into usable codes, right? So essentially utilizing AI trends recently, so whether it's about copywriting on design, being able to use design to code tools, image generation has been very useful with our design firm. So I think not just AI, but on top of my mind, AI has been useful, very useful for our past projects recently, yeah.
So what's the one biggest piece of advice you wishes, you know, before you started this business?
I would say to network a lot, because as mentioned earlier, a ton of our clients came from people we know, people we've built genuine relationships for the past year or so, right? So it's really about being able to invest time into building genuine relationships. Because I've noticed recently that a bulk of our cold DMs are usually being responded when we have past interactions, right? So it's really about building genuine relationships, being able to provide value to the people you're talking to, right? It's not just a one-way street. You have to give something in return, yeah.
So when you're building these relationships, you mentioned obviously it's mostly on Twitter, but have you looked in, so you mentioned, I mean, I guess you said Telegram a little bit. So other channels or Discord or LinkedIn, or I guess like other channels have you looked at where, you know, it comes to growth? Because I mean, I think, you know, obviously Twitter's great. We're on Twitter every day. That's how, you know, we connected. But I think there's obviously other channels as well. So I'm curious if like if that's been a part of your strategy or if it is a part of your strategy, you know, going forward.
Definitely. So for one, I'm also working in LinkedIn. So I used to call DM in LinkedIn. But at the same time, there are crypto natives, social apps like Lens or Warpcast, wherein you can reach crypto native builders, right? So they're like, you could think of it as like mini forums or group chats wherein the most crypto native individuals hang out, right? So it's about understanding where your partners or clients are hanging out with online, right? So that has been one of our goals this year, is to be active in those crypto native platforms.
Awesome. So in terms of being more active in those platforms, I mean, that's obviously important, but you know, what does that look like when you're having these conversations? I mean, I know that at least, as you know, like what happened about a year ago in crypto, I mean, now it's coming back, obviously, but like, what does it look like? I mean, if you're working with these startups, right, are you helping them get funding or like, where does that go? Because I think it's like many people are still skeptical and hesitant about the future of crypto.
Definitely. To your point, I usually help out with startups whenever they're fundraising, because as mentioned, I'm friends with a lot of investors, crypto native investors. So when a lot of these builders come and build their own project, I would tend to reach out to them. You know, if their project is really part of a thesis of an investment fund, because these funds usually have like investment thesis, and whether the projects fit their thesis, I would usually send out these deals to a lot of investors, because I usually have like a newsletter wherein, you know, I would promote these projects into these VCs, right? But apart from that, I'm also friends with a lot of operators. So if these projects would need people in growth or biz dev, or they're hiring in generally, right, I would usually connect them to the right providers and operators. So that's how I usually go about providing value upfront. No, it's really not asking, hey, do you want design services? It's really about providing, how can I help you? If you guys need any support in hiring, I know a few people who runs an HR platform or HR consultancy wherein they could hire for you, right? So those kind of little things tend to add up, because a lot of our projects we work with usually start from those conversations.
So how do you deal with difficult clients?
That's a great question. You know, depending on whether we made a mistake, you know, it's really about being able to be upfront. You made a mistake, and you know, really not try to engage in lengthy conversation. You know, you want it to cut it straight away, right? And at the same time, you know, as mentioned, it's about really being honest and being patient, because we've been really so fortunate that a lot of our clients we work with are close friends or networks of ours. So they're pretty, really, I would say, amenable to whatever changes or differences we have in terms of a culture, language, or what have you, right? So, but yeah, we've been fortunate with our clients, but as mentioned, it's really about being upfront, you know, being patient with these clients. And we're working a service company. In the past, we used to present to the Department of Budget in the Philippines. So like, there are various people you meet within the service industry, and you just really have to be patient, understand where they're coming from, right? Because they'll be investing in the service you're providing. So it's really about taking their perspective.
For sure. Do you think so? Obviously, you know, being in the Philippines has advantages when it comes to cost. But where do you see things going? Because I think it's like the Philippines has been, at least for me as an American, I feel like it's a growing, you know, as you said, like it's like a developing country. There's a lot happening. And there's been a very strong reputation for customer service and, you know, virtual assistants out of the Philippines. But do you see things more heading into like the, you know, because I think, for example, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh have been leaders when it comes to development and technology. People don't think of the Philippines per se, but do you see things headed more in that direction of the Philippines being more of a leader when it comes to software as well?
I would say there's a bunch of interest, but I would say in terms of skills, we're pretty much far off from India, right? Like in terms of skills, but there are a couple of leaders within the Philippines that are really dominating the market, right? So there are only a handful of there are only a handful of companies that are dominating the industry within the Philippines, right? So whereas with India, I would say you have a ton more options to choose from, right? So are we heading there? I would say yes, but it would take time, right? Because I heard also this story where in Latin America, sales rep are much more, I would say, talkative or better in sales, whereas within the Philippines, no, it's not just the specialty, right? Because I think you have to look into what are the like the cultural differences of industry. Are some people better at sales because they're talkative, or are they more culturally fit, right? So when it comes to the Philippines, I would say we're leaning in that direction, but it's not going to happen so soon.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
Yeah, definitely. So again, we're exploring the venture model studio. So we want to be able to provide more services, establish more HQ in different locations. We want to partner with a lot of VCs. So when VCs set up their incubation or accelerator program, we want to be the top of mind, right? So they want to launch any idea. They want to hire founders to build that idea. We want to be there for them. So it's really about expanding the services for Hof Studio and expanding our footprint when it comes to location. Yeah.
Makes sense. So do you mind sharing your website and Twitter handle the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Definitely. For website, it's hofstudio.xyz. For social media, I'm mostly on Twitter. It's _xyzman_.
Awesome. Well, Rico, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure chatting with you. We're rooting for you, wishing you the best of luck, and hopefully you guys keep growing and we can chat again in 1 year from now.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.